Good morning. It's time for our Bible reading, and the reading comes from Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
Good morning once more. I'll pray. Father God, again we simply say thank you for gathering us this morning, gathering us with a spirit of gratitude for the gift of a Saviour, Jesus, who is now our Lord. Thank you for your word and its authority in our lives, and for your Holy Spirit who now ministers that word to us as we submit ourselves under that authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Matthew chapter 24, what is this chapter all about? Last Sunday morning we had a look at a large slab of it, and today we go just a little further. It did occur to me that there are a number of sayings around to highlight just how testing life can be. Those of us with long memories and who've been around this part of the world for a long time might recall former Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser. He gave us a memorable saying when he told us life wasn't meant to be easy. The cynics in those days would have wanted to analyse what was the political motivation behind such words. Many, though, would readily relate to the thought behind it. Then I thought back long through my own life, long ago to when I was in high school, and we pored over Shakespeare and his plays. And in that play titled Macbeth, Macbeth also made a memorable statement, or one at least was memorable enough to stay with me down through the years, when he said, amidst the complexity of his life, time and tide run through the roughest day. And I guess by that Macbeth meant everything will turn out as it is meant to turn out. But we're Christians. We can go beyond the wisdom of Malcolm Fraser and even beyond that of Shakespeare. And no doubt, even they had their own way of drawing off the truth of the Bible. For this issue is really what chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel is all about. It is all about what we can actually know now, what it is we can be certain of, what we can be certain of concerning what it is ordained for us to pass through, and concerning what will be the eventual outcome. This is what this chapter of Matthew's Gospel addresses. Now, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus had given a hint to the 12. And he had said to them, things will not always remain as they are now. He said, an end is decreed for all things. Jesus, last week we heard, he went on to explain. Lots of things are going to happen, and they are for us hints that there will be an end. So, for instance, he said, there will be false messiahs. In other words, those who claim falsely to be the Christ. And then he said, there will be wars. There will be famines or drought, earthquakes, persecution. He said, we will even be able to detect a lack of love, a loss of what you might call spiritual fervour among those who do belong to the Lord. And then Jesus brought this whole issue of distress, the distress that is a herald that the end is coming, he then brought it much closer to home for his disciples. And he talked about the distress that they would personally encounter in the city of Jerusalem where they still had their homes. So that on the one hand, he said, we could keep on hearing of distress, keep on hearing of tragedy in faraway places, but on the other hand, there will be times when that distress, when it comes right into the immediate circumstances of our own lives. But all of this for a purpose. He said to them then, us now, don't be caught off guard when life turns out not to be easy. Keep on remembering, all of this is moving towards an appointed end. Now we're going to ask, why must all of this be endured? Why must all this happen before the end comes? Well, we cannot go all the way into the depths of the mysteries of our God and his purposes, but we can go some way. And we can see here two purposes, again revealed in this Matthew 14, where we were last week. We delay the time of the end, and it makes it possible for the gospel to be preached across all of the world, to every tribe, to every nation. We delay the time of the end, secondly, and this delay, and this is in verse 13, it reveals who are the faithful. Verse 13, he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Never give up just because it has all got too hard all of a sudden. We, as a body of people who have begun to have a faith in the Lord Jesus, never waver in that confidence. We maintain our confidence in the words that Jesus has given us. Is this chapter of Matthew a chapter full of gloom and doom? Well, maybe. But as well, it is a chapter full of the mercy of the Lord. Even a loving father is acknowledging how testing we will find all this. Don't miss the subtlety in some of the words. Verse 15, he says, so when we see, or verse 22, for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened, or verse 25, see, I have told you ahead of time. And so we are driven back to verse 13. He, she, who stands firm to the end, will be saved. So we stand firm in our unwavering trust in the words of promise that have come to us from our Lord Jesus. So we allow the Holy Spirit to deepen our conviction of their truth, to deepen our conviction of their reality. So we get to our passage for this morning, verse 29 of chapter 24. The first word, immediately. What do we get a sense of when we hear that word, immediately? There does come that point when the end will come. Back in verse 3, the disciples had asked Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the sign of the end of the age? Well, now Jesus says, the end of the age will suddenly hit us in the immediacy of the present moment. All the signs will have been there. There would have been wars and earthquakes and droughts and persecution of the faithful, even some giving up. But we have been told ahead of time. How literally should we read verse 29? Where it says there, the sun is darkened, the moon no longer gives its light, stars fall from the sky, heavenly bodies are shaken. What is all this telling us? The end means a total destruction of this creation, so that all of the order that we have always taken for granted, all the predictability that we've always assumed would be there, now forever it dissolves. So that back in verse 2 of the chapter, in the immediate experience of the 12, it means that that ever magnificent and grand Jerusalem temple, such a stable, permanent reminder of the grandeur of their God in the midst of their beloved Jerusalem, not one stone left upon another. But now the restructuring of the creation assumes cosmic proportions in verse 29. Sun, moon, and stars are no more. But verse 30 brings us to what the appointed end is all about. At that time, the Son of Man will appear in the sky. They will see the Son of Man. He will come in the clouds of the sky. He will come with power and great glory. Go back a verse again to verse 29. When will this happen? Immediately. Yes, we have been warned. Yes, we are ready. Yes, we have remained steadfast. We have been unwavering in our confidence in the declared word of the Lord Jesus. But then how overwhelming will that moment be? We picked it up in one of our songs. The Son of Man appears in the sky. We are now left speechless. The Apostle John picks up the same language in verse 7 of the first chapter of the book of Revelation. He says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. But let's go back 500 years before Jesus in the Old Testament. The days of the prophet Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel had that vision as he languished in Babylon. God's people in exile from their beloved Jerusalem at that point. He said, I looked and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days. He was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, one that will never pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Verse 31 of today's chapter. It seems to add to the drama of this great and final end time moment. He will send his angels with a loud trumpet. We've heard what John said about what Jesus' words. We've heard what Daniel said about them. What about Paul? 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. Yes, this great and awe-filled moment, attested to by the voice of Scripture across many centuries, across many generations. But then Jesus also says in verse 30, all the nations of the earth will mourn. It's a sobering thought, isn't it? Jesus is now writing of that moment when his reign, that moment when his kingdom, when it has now literally come. We have always played in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, if you like. Well, now Jesus writes of that moment when that prayer is literally answered. The kingdom has now come. This being the moment when we like to talk about the kingdom now being fully consummated. The rule of Jesus in this moment is now direct. It is now immediate. His rule is now uncontested, undebated, universal. None can avoid it. But who are those who will mourn? Will it not be those who had made life difficult for the disciple of the Lord Jesus? Those who have persecuted the faithful? They will mourn at the moment of Jesus' appearance. At that moment, they will be in no doubt as to who is the one who alone rules over all history. But the other side of the story is there in verse 31, isn't it? Jesus sends his angels with the loud trumpet call, and they gather his elect from where? The four winds. They gather them from one end of heaven to the other. Who are the elect? They're not the ones we're sending to Macquarie Street in a week or two. They are none other than those who have stood firm to the end. Jesus has his hand on his own. He calls them the elect. We have stood firm. We have held on tightly to our salvation. And at the same time, we have this confidence in the Lord Jesus. He will gather us from wherever we have been scattered. For by the time the Son of Man comes on the clouds of the sky, the elect, they will be found on the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now we get to verse 32, and we return to the general theme and idea of this chapter 24 of Matthew. And he says again, read the signs of the age. Jesus gives them to us. Not one of us would fail to read the signs that spring is approaching. We know the trees that begin to sprout growth at that time of the year. And just as they lost leaves in the coming autumn, we don't have to be keen gardeners to work that out. Jesus talks about the signs of summer so obvious in the fig trees. Maybe not obvious to all of us today, however. Especially, though, the fruit-bearing fig trees. There's two varieties, I understand. And the phrase at the end of verse 32, you know that summer is near. Yes, we will never deny that life in the service of our Lord Jesus can be challenging. Our faithful walk with the Lord will be ever stretching our capacity to stand firm to the end. But should it never take us by surprise? We will always live as if the end is near. The arrival of summer never takes us by surprise. Yes, for some it is more welcome than it is for others. Some years it comes with greater intensity than others, as it did this year. But its arrival never takes us by surprise. And so verse 33 brings us back from the illustration of the fig tree, brings us back from the coming of summer. We hear of those earthquakes, the drought, the endless wars, the civil unrest, the loss of faith in the Lord Jesus in the lives of some, the persecution of the faithful, those moments when distress comes right to our own doorsteps. Verse 33, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Christians always live as if the end could come at any moment. Life goes on. We get up every morning. We do the work that fills up every day. We attend to our loved ones. We look after our churches. We keep the life of our churches up and functioning. We are forever declaring the love of Christ to a needy world. But always at the back of our minds, now let me correct that, always at the forefront of our minds, verse 33, you know that it is near. We spend a moment on verse 34. What about it? It seems our Bibles have these verses ever so often. You know, the ones whose meaning has been contested not just around this part of the world, but down through the centuries, across the continents and across the spoken languages. Here Jesus says, I tell you the truth. You know it's serious when it begins those words. Any of us old enough to remember the authorised King James Version, it used to say, verily, verily, I say unto you. But Jesus now says, I tell you the truth. This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. What did Jesus mean by that? This generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Well, certainly he was referring to the annihilation of the city of Jerusalem and the temple. That would all occur in less than 40 years. Yes, we still wait for Jesus to come on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. So did Jesus get it wrong when he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened? Well, first of all, Jesus never gets it wrong. Verse 35 affirms that. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Well, we all concede Jesus' words have that level of reliability, absolute reliability, you could call it. So what did Jesus mean when he said, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened? And we cannot get away from the fact that many generations have now passed away since Jesus said that. Well, I can only make all the suggestions the great ones have made. Jesus may well be speaking figuratively. We certainly now live in the last age of the history of time, meaning we now live between the two comings of the Lord Jesus. But what do we take away from these verses before us this morning? Well, one certainly is the reality of judgment. Verse 29, creation as we now know it, sun, moon, stars, set to disintegrate. Verse 30, all the nations of the earth will mourn. And yet there is the underpinning joy of those Jesus calls the elect, those who will stand firm to the end, those who will be saved. Verse 30, they will see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. Just as even the prophet Daniel foresaw it in his prophecy so many centuries previously. The elect will be gathered, verse 31. We will have seen all things. And I can take heart from the baffling words of verse 34. All these things will happen before this generation passes away. This definitely tells us that we are dealing with a manageable length of time. So we take heart, we persist, we stand firm. We even, verse 32, learn from the fig tree. Never stop learning from the Word of God. And from verse 35, this heaven, this earth, meaning the whole creation rather than the afterlife when it says heaven, are not going to last. However, Jesus' words, they will never pass away. We are people of faith. That means we trust what Jesus has said. We trust what Jesus has promised. We trust in it to be true. So we now go on living by it. In this time of waiting, in this testing time of trial. Amen.